This is So You Think You Know Jesus, a podcast that will challenge Christian paradigms, uproot traditions of man, and in the end, energize your faith by grounding you in solid biblical truths as you learn to see Scripture through the eyes of the Jewish Messiah, Yeshua. Welcome, author and speaker Rabbi Jeff Grillo of the Rock of Israel Congregation in North Carolina, a Messianic synagogue that is part of the National Jewish Fellowship of the Assemblies of God. Now, Rabbi Jeff.
Okie doke, here we go. Another episode of So You Think You Know Jesus, a podcast ministry outreach of the Rock of Israel Congregation in Hickory, North Carolina. I am Rabbi Jeff, and you are invited. If you are ever in the Hickory, North Carolina area, please be sure to stop by. Web address anyway, is given at the very end by Miss Amy, so make sure you stick around for that. Today, I think we are going to go full on part two of the mini-series, which just may be two episodes. I don't know if we'll go beyond this. But this is Not My Brother, part two. And today we're talking about the JWs, the Jehovah Witnesses. You know, it's interesting how sometimes believers have this idea that just because, you know, somebody has a belief in Jesus, even if they're not, you know, exactly believing the same as you, that they're still brothers. Now, that may be true from denomination to denomination. You know, Baptists and Pentecostals can be friends, okay? And you know, pick your mainstream denominations. We all have the same playbook. We all, you know, more or less agree on the fundamentals. But there's other religions out there where Jesus is a figure, some way, shape, or form in the religion. But be ye not deceived. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 and onward doesn't ask the question, but it says that we are not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. What association does righteousness have with wickedness? The light with the dark, et cetera, et cetera, and temples with idols, where, you know, we're just supposed to come out from among them and be separate. And years ago, I forget, this is in excess of probably 6 years ago or more, I was volunteering at a local nursing home, kind of in their rec department, and I was asked to go sit in on this Bible study that was happening. It was a Wednesday, and they were the Jehovah Witnesses. And I looked at the guy. He knew I was a Messianic rabbi. I was like, "Are you for real?" He's like, "Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Go in there, and you ask any questions that you want." And this person was a nominal Christian, we'll say, and he wanted me to go get him, essentially. And I said, "Are you coming with me?" He goes, "Oh, no. My faith isn't strong enough for that." He walked away laughing. And I'm like, well, the boss says to go. So I went and I sat there for this Bible study. And like not even 30 seconds in, I'm over there raising my hand. And the guy's name was James. And he's like, "Yes." And I forget what the first violation was, but right out of the gate, they said something just absolutely twisting the mess out of Scripture. And I said, "That's not what that means in the Hebrew." And, you know, I gave the Hebrew explanation, and they very uncomfortably just said, "Oh, well, let's just, you know, move on. That's not what the video says." That was their explanation or their retort. But one of the big things that they say, that they claim in their religion, which has nothing to do with Christianity, don't be deceived. I think at this point most people get it, but I'm going to give you some information that'll be a great tool for you to be able to use in witnessing to a witness, right? But you'll be a true witness of Yehovah, not a Jehovah Witness. You'll be a disciple, a Talmud, one of the Talmudim of Yeshua. You'll be doing a mitzvah, a good deed, okay? So here's the belief. They believe that Jesus is basically a created being, an angel. I think it's even something like crazy, like him and Satan, you know, a brothers or something like that. Just absolute. Just couldn't be further from the truth. And they just were harping on this angel thing that, no, he's just an angel. He's just a messenger. So round and round we went, and that ended that week's study, and they were getting agitated with me. And then week after week, I would sit there and terrorize the poor guy with the truth. And just kept bringing up, oh, that's not true, that's not true. And finally to the point where, you know, he got all flustered and asked me to not come back. But I had seen him before the following week. And I said, James, can I ask you a question? And he's like, okay. I'm like, I want you to help me understand something. And it was almost, I could sense in his voice, like, ooh, he's coming to our side. He's got a question. And I said this. I said, James, can angels ever accept worship? James didn't hesitate. Oh, no, absolutely not. He kept shaking his head. No, that's forbidden. Okay. I said, we have a problem then, James. I said, well, not so much me, but you have a problem. And he said, what are you talking about? I made him take his Bible, and I opened it up to John chapter 20, I think it's in verse 28. The doubting Thomas scene, right, where he says, I won't believe unless I can put my hand in his wounds and in his side, right? And Yeshua appears, and he's reading this. I had him read it out loud. And then I stopped him after he finished, and I said, James, when Yeshua appears, Thomas falls prostrate on the floor. That's an act of worship. Anytime somebody fell prostrate before an angel, they always were corrected by the angels. Don't do this. John, the beloved in the book of Revelation, comes to mind as a prime example. I'm just a servant like you. Don't do it. Worship God alone. So here we have Thomas falling in worship before Yeshua, and Jesus didn't correct him. So if he's an angel, he's one of the bad angels because he's accepting worship, which is forbidden, even to a Jehovah Witness, interestingly enough. But it goes deeper than that. Jesus has him rise to his feet. And what does Thomas say? My Lord and my God. And I'm blind. Maybe I'm missing something. But I have read it and reread it, listened to it over and over again. I used to have sight. I remember reading it. I've had other people with sight now read it, just in case it's changed or I'm remembering it wrong. And nowhere, after Thomas calling him my Lord and my God, nowhere does Jesus correct him. He accepts worship. He accepts being called my Lord and my God. And I said, James, you got a problem. If he's an angel, he's among the worst of the worst. Or the alternative view, which is the correct view, is that he is who he says he is. And he is Yehovah. He is the Word made flesh, John chapter 1. He did step out of heaven and take on flesh to live a sinless, perfect life in our place, to take the punishment on the execution stake of the Romans on our behalf to become our blood atonement. And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, that to me, no matter what else they believe, and believe you me, they believe a lot of stuff that's way out there. But, and it's all easy to debunk, but this is my, by far, my favorite debunking. And I hope it becomes your favorite. And I hope you get this encounter, this image in your head. So the next time you have the pleasure of answering your door with a Jehovah's Witness knocking, I wouldn't let him in the house. You don't want to invite that spirit into your home, but I would absolutely step out onto your porch. And if you've got chairs out there, I'd sit down and I'd share with them the question, are angels allowed to receive worship? And as soon as they say no, take them to John 20:28. You'll be glad you did. And maybe, just maybe, you'll be rescuing somebody from the fires of hell.
Thanks for learning with us today. For more information and resources, or to invite Rabbi Jeff to speak at your church or next event, call 1-828-201-2883. Once again, that's 1-828-201-2883. Or visit myroic.org. That's myroic.org. Shalom.